signed up for these kinds of measures.
Mayor Rocky Anderson, I want to thank you for being with us. That wraps up our broadcast here in Salt Lake City. Tomorrow we'll be bringing you a Salt Lake City soldier who is walking across Utah for peace. That does it for today's broadcast. I'll be in Boise State University Student Union Building today at 11:30. Then tonight we'll be in Boulder, Democracy Now!, produced by Mike Berkshire, Hubdo Caduce, John Hamilton, Elizabeth Press, Yuri Richin, Frank Lopez, Jen Youth. Special thanks to Chuck Skurich and to David Goodman. Our website is democracynow.org for tour details. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
A passed out guy on the front lawn had better not be dead. On the
road again. Nearly 700,000 Americans were arrested on marijuana charges last year. That's an enormous waste of law enforcement resources and terribly unfair to those arrested and their families. It's time we stopped arresting adults who smoke marijuana responsibly. For more information, visit Normal's website at www.normal.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL and tell them Willie sent you.
And you listen to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. The time is just around 6 o'clock, close enough. And why don't we begin this edition of Off the Wall. Thank you. I'm sorry. I was just after a conversation with somebody. And sometimes you have to have conversations, okay? It's part of life. And radio shows have to be put on hold. It happens. Deal with it. So, yeah, okay, here we are. This is the radio show. This is Off the Wall for this week. Welcome. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for the next hour or so. And we'll be taking phone calls, as usual, at 631-632-9872. So write that number down. If you've never called us before, you're the person we want to hear from this week. And there's all sorts of things that we can discuss, all kinds of fun topics and issues and world events, things like that. There's no end. This show could go on for 6 hours if I had the strength, because there were so many things to talk about. We could be on every single day of the year. Certainly be a lot better than most of the crap that's out there. Not here, not at this station. Not this station, but, you know, the other stations. You know what I mean. You know. All sorts of world events, developments, startling items to bring your way. All lined with personal commentary and perspective. Get this. This is something that I learned about that's rather disturbing. Do you know that there have been some reprisal attacks? I know, reprisal attacks are a way of life. They happen all over the place. But this might be a bit odd. This might be something that you weren't really expecting. Or maybe you were. Maybe if you're in tune with the human race as much as I should be, this wouldn't surprise you at all. But it sure surprised me. At least 10 stingrays have been found dead and mutilated on Australia's eastern coast since crocodile hunter Steve Irwin was killed by one of the animals a few weeks ago. There are concerns now of revenge attacks on the normally docile fish. So apparently, it's fair game on stingrays because of what they did, or what one of them did. In case you're awakening from a coma, Steve Irwin was killed when a stingray barb pierced his chest as he filmed a TV show off of Australia's Great Barrier Reef. And, yeah, that certainly was a major story a few weeks ago. I can't say I was surprised that he was killed by some member of nature, but stingray, that wasn't one I was expecting. Meanwhile, I'm being threatened by deer, but never mind. Nothing's happened since last week when I was actually threatened by by a mid-sized deer who apparently thought I was getting a little too close or something, or she was getting too close to me. I don't know. Maybe it was a misunderstanding, but nothing has happened since. We're pretty much both holding our territory. But I had something else concerning Steve Irwin, because we talked about his kind of daredevil attitude. And I had a problem with that, because anybody who has a daredevil attitude, and there's so many ways that can manifest itself. Maybe you speed in your car and you think, oh, even if the cops do get me, I'm going to be okay. I can drive a little bit drunk because, well, I know what I'm doing. I can smoke because, well, smoking doesn't kill people like me, only old people. Of course, they don't tell you those old people are 23 and they just look like they're 85. But the fact is, when you live a daredevil life, you, at one point, and it really only takes one instance, you learn that, hey, I am not invincible. And oftentimes it's too late. But I talked about an interview that he had given a few years ago where he boasted of the fact that when he traveled through mountains and valleys and over hill and over dale with poisonous snakes, or in search of poisonous snakes. God knows why someone would search for poisonous snakes, but that's what he would do. He didn't carry any snake venom with him. Or anti-venom. I'm sorry, I always get that wrong. The stuff that helps you, not the stuff that hurts you. Didn't carry any with him. Because that supposedly made him safer. Or made him not want to get bitten as much, or something like that. We had this letter from David, who said one of the viewpoints about not carrying anti-venom is that it prompts you to act in a more safe manner, since you do not have a quick solution to being bitten. I'm sorry, that is the silliest thing I have ever heard. You're saying if you take away any safety precaution, you're going to act in a more safe way. So we should unbuckle our seatbelts and whatever other safety devices that we happen to be carrying with us. We should take no precautions whatsoever, because if we do, then we're pretty much saying that we're going to become a victim. Well, I think there are certain big disadvantages to that. So, yeah, that's the Steve Irwin approach. I don't share it. I got into a fight yesterday. Not a physical fight, although it could have escalated to this. It could have escalated to this if I was close to the person I was talking to. But unfortunately, I think they were in Guam or something, and I was here. I talked about the FedEx thing last week. Yeah, it was with a corporation. It wasn't a fist fight with an SUV driver this time. It was a FedEx representative that I almost had it out with. Well, I did have it out with them. Just didn't come to blows. Now, it took literally 7 days for an envelope to get from New York to Montreal because, and I have the FedEx report in front of me. I actually printed this out, went to their website, and here it is. Here's the evidence. On September 12th, at 5:12 p.m., it was picked up at their main facility in Ronkonkoma here in New York. And then on September 13th, it went to Indianapolis for some reason. Okay, it went from Ronkonkoma to Garden City, which is in Nassau County, then from there to Indianapolis, which I guess is one of their processing facilities. About 6:45 in the morning, 6:46 actually, it was in Mirabel, Quebec, which is the border, this where you go when you send packages or envelopes to Canada. That's where they go and they, I guess, inspect it to make sure it's filled out properly and all that kind of thing. And that's when it had the comment, package available for clearance, whatever that means. That was September 13th, 6:46 in the morning. September 14th, clearance in progress. And then that was it. Nothing else was heard until I got an email on September 18th from the person I was sending this thing to saying, where is this already? It's been almost a week. And I called FedEx that night. And lo and behold, the next morning, international shipment release, 6:39 a.m., Mirabel, Quebec, and it arrived at 2:02 p.m. at its destination. That tells me that my phone call got something going. So I called FedEx and I said, look, I paid for 1 day shipment. You gave me 1 week shipments. I don't think that's entirely fair, so please give me a credit. They did not want to give me a credit for this. They said this is the result of the Canadian government. And I asked them, since when are letters, not even packages, but letters, single sheet letters, held for 6 days at the border? And since I called you guys and I made you aware of the fact that the package had not yet arrived, and literally hours later, all of a sudden, it had been found, that tells me my phone call did something. My phone call to you, not to the government of Canada, to you. And when I talked to you on the phone that time, you sure acted like you didn't know where it was, and you were worried. You thought it was lost. So yeah, that's cause for at the very least, a refund of the shipment charge. And they didn't see it that way. So I asked them, okay, fine. If this is the Canadian government's fault, give me a phone number of the people up there so I can yell at them instead and get some satisfaction. Well, they don't give out their phone number, sir. So how do you talk to them? How do you know what's going on? There must be some way you contact these people. That went on for a very long time. And finally, I was not giving up on this. I don't know how much it cost. I don't really care. It's the point of the thing. And this one I was not letting go of. I asked them for more detail than what was on this thing. What happened during that time? What was on your actual internal memos concerning this particular shipment? Because I know you keep things that you don't put on your website. And I got to give the representative credit. They were trying. They were trying to figure out the whole thing themselves. They had never seen anything quite like this. And they finally admitted to the fact that the label had fallen off the envelope at one point, and they didn't know where it was supposed to go. I don't know how they figured it out finally. I guess it was a barcode someplace they were able to read. But that was one of the reasons for the delay. And so I said, well, you know, you guys put the label on. You're the guys responsible for keeping the label on the envelope because that's your little device there that holds it in place. And I had taken it to a FedEx outlet. So that's your fault, not my fault, your fault. And that was checkmate. There was no way out of that argument. By admitting that the label had fallen off, that was how they took responsibility, and I got the credit in the end. But it must have taken 45 minutes on the phone. Far more for either of us. Our time is worth far more than whatever I got back. But it was just a satisfaction of the thing in the first place. And I got to tell you, it was frustrating. It's really frustrating when you know you've been wronged and you don't get any satisfaction from it. You don't even get an apology. Well, no, they gave me an apology, but that was it. It was an artificial apology. Well, sir, I'm sorry, but there's nothing we can do about it. Yeah, we make billions of dollars a year. We can't give you back your $10, whatever it cost you to do this, because we're not going to admit it was our fault. Well, I maintain it should not take a full week for something that is sent overnight to get a few miles. Even if there is a border involved, it's a friendly border. We're not at war with Canada, are we? And I wasn't aware that letters, envelopes were highly suspect, so there was no reason for this. So anyway, I consider that closed, but I'm never going to use them again to send anything over there. What else? Well, as long as I'm speaking of my own personal life. Hassles. I mean, you just want to get through the day. You don't want all these setbacks to be occurring. Like last week with the hard drive crashing, actually my entire system crashing. Recovered from that, got a new system up and running, recovered from tape. Best thing in the world, make sure you keep backups. I always say this to people, keep backups, keep them frequently. And thank God it restored, because if it hadn't, wow, what shape I would have been in. Wouldn't be here today, I'll tell you that. I'd be in some kind of grief counseling or something. So that's all done, but still it's reinstalling things, getting things to function properly, getting used to new versions of software. That takes a bit of time. So, I'm through that. I'm over that. That's done. The next crisis on the horizon is I was doing the laundry, and all of a sudden I realized, you know, this dryer sounds different. I push the button, and I hear the noise, but there's something different about this. You get used to all the noises in your life, you know, and they all have a particular sound to them. And there was something about this. It just sounded lighter. Yeah, that was it. It was a lighter sound. And I opened up the dryer and it was generating all kinds of heat, but it wasn't spinning. It was not spinning. So there are a number of reasons why that could have happened, but basically it all wound up with me having a huge pile of wet clothes that I couldn't do anything about. Everyone's advising me, open up the thing and check the belts and check the engine, motor rather, and all sorts of things that will take a long time to do. You got to pull the thing out from the wall. You got to unscrew the whole back of it. You have to poke your hands, disconnect things. Who needs this? And on top of that, now I've got to go and bring all my wet clothes down to one of these public laundry places. I don't know what it is. I'm not sure I understand why is it that the crazy people all hang out at laundromats. I mean, is there any other device that the lack of makes people crazy? Apparently, if you don't have a laundry machine or you don't have a dryer, you go mad. I see people there. They're pushing grocery carts in circles in the parking lot. They're standing outside talking to themselves. They're looking into the laundry machine with a manic grin on their faces. These are the people that I have to share time with now. Now, if you go to Macy's or a department store of some sort, and you go to the TV section, there aren't a whole lot of people there that don't have TVs that are acting crazy. You know, there's no other appliance, no other device that I can think of where not having it makes you act in a certain bizarre way. And I'm sure there are sane people who go to laundromats. I've never seen them, but I'm sure they exist. So it's a hassle, you know? I've got to deal with that now. I'm probably going to have to go, and this is the real hard part for me, I'm going to have to go to a mall and get another one. Because it's actually, I know I'm never going to be able to fix this thing myself. I know that. Just looking at the instruction book is enough to to give me a headache. Well, make sure you have your drill bits handy and your Torx screwdriver and Phillips and all sorts of other things and have all kinds of goggles and handkerchiefs and whatnot. No, that's not me. I don't have time. I barely have time to do my laundry, let alone fix the machine that does it. Now, calling a repairman is one possibility, but when you add it all up, if the guy comes there and is able to fix it, it costs you the same as getting a new one. It really does. So that means I'm going to have to go to one of those malls and pick out another one. This one lasted about 10 years, so I guess that's about right. But boy, I hate this. I hate all these derailings when you're trying to just go through with your daily routine. So yeah, it's been a hassle. It's been one setback after another. And I don't have time for the things I really like to do. Like argue with people. I love arguing with people about various things. And so do my friends. My friends seem to really enjoy this. I got a letter from a friend of mine who I hadn't talked to in a while. And basically it was a copy of a letter he was sending to various newspapers, just bemoaning what Bush is doing to this country, how civil rights have been trod upon, how torture is now used as a means of coercion, invading countries without any kind of reason, the Constitution basically being torn in half. I said, you know, I wrote back, I said, hey, that's a great letter. I'm glad you understand these things. He writes back saying, yes, but you understand the thing that I'm really upset about are guns and how gun owners don't have any rights. I mean, why, for God's sake, of all the things going on today, did you latch on this particular issue? First of all, gun owners have never been in a more secure location for their little needs than ever. You've never had a government more friendly to your little perversions of firing things at other things. That's not in any danger. I don't know what everybody is so freaked out about. But it was basically an invitation to get into a big, long, drawn-out debate about this. And I didn't have time. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it, even though I was assured of victory. Oh, yes, I would have won. Just did not have the time. But, I mean, honestly, I get this all the time. People complaining about, well, you know, you're not allowed to walk around with a loaded gun in New York City? Oh, my goodness. Oh, the horror. How do we get through a day when not being allowed to walk around a major metropolitan city with a loaded gun? Why, Benjamin Franklin would be so upset. I think the proof that you guys with the guns really don't care all that much about liberty is the fact that you're not doing anything with them now, when our liberty is at such complete, incomplete life support. That's what it is. I'm not saying go around and fire guns at people. How about you surround certain various government buildings? Yes, do that. Show off your guns there. Say that you're concerned. You won't do that because all you want your guns for are to, quote-unquote, protect yourself against all those other people who have guns. Well, that's what you say anyway. It doesn't work. Yeah, it works occasionally. There was that case in, I think, in Harlem a couple of weeks ago where this 85-year-old woman or someone shot a mugger. Didn't kill him, but shot him and was able to wound him enough and remain safe. Hey, it does happen. You know, when you have a weapon, you sometimes can use it against an attacker and sometimes it works. Lots of other times it does not. And of course, what the argument that we're always faced with is, well, we never know how many times it's been able to prevent crime. Well, of course, you can't really use things that don't exist as argument points, things that don't happen. We can only look at the things that did happen, the things that are able to be tracked. We could use the same logic in all different sorts of ways. But, I mean, there was a case here on Long Island only a couple of days ago. Where is it? It's over here. Nassau police tracked down a suspect in the weekend shooting in Inwood that left a 9-year-old boy with a head wound after a man showed up at a Brooklyn hospital with a bullet wound, bleeding profusely. So they caught the guy who did this. But basically what happened was there's a home invasion. Home invasions are the latest fad here on Long Island. People basically just burst into your home and steal things. And they don't care if you're there. That doesn't dissuade them at all. They burst in and they help themselves to food, to dryers maybe, whatever they fancy. This happened in Nassau County. Three men burst inside the home on Saturday through an unlocked screen door and an open front door. Nine people were inside. Six people lived in the house. The rest were visiting. At least two of the intruders were armed. They ordered some of the people to lie on the floor and made it clear that it was a robbery, in case there was any doubt about that. Then one of the residents had the brilliant idea of grabbing his pistol. He's a licensed pistol owner. This was the opportunity he was waiting for. He confronted the intruders. And guess what? A gun battle ensued. And during the exchange, the 9-year-old boy got hit in the head with a bullet. Nice going. I mean, all my sympathies to the people involved in this, but my God, what were you thinking? And that's what I ask people who are just so into... I don't have any problem with people acting responsibly and going target practice and even hunting, even though I'm not really crazy about it. It's a sport, I guess, among certain circles. But let's not kid ourselves and say that this is making you safer inside your house. It's not. It's making things more dangerous. Your kid is likely to come upon it a lot sooner than you will use it to protect your family or your house or anything like that. People use their parents' guns when they go Columbine, and all sorts of other bad things happen. But still, apart from all that, nobody is moving in and lining up the gun owners and taking away their rifles and pistols and things like that. That's not happening. So you guys that are all concerned about this, show some concern for the real civil rights that are being taken away. Show some concern about searches without warrants, about wiretapping without warrants, about people being locked away in prisons without any kind of charges being filed against them for years. About your country torturing people all around the world, about invading other countries. This is not what this country is supposed to be all about, is it? Yeah, these are the things to be concerned about. Your little hobby is safe for now, and probably forever. And it should not be the biggest thing in the world to you. There's really a problem I have with people who are just so intent about this. It's like nothing else matters. Okay, so that's, I could have gotten into a big argument, big long fight about that, but I didn't. Didn't have time. I had to deal with all the other hassles of this week. But let's see what's been going on in the rest of the world. And, of course, we'll be taking phone calls in just a little bit. 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. The maglev train crashed. Oh, boy, what do you think about that? The maglev train... in Germany. Actually, I didn't even know there was one in Germany. They had a test track. And what they did was they just ferried people back and forth on this track. People worked for the company. And it was a 20-mile track in, I think, the northwestern part of the country near the Holland border. And what happened was there was this vehicle on the tracks. Yeah, some lame brain left a maintenance vehicle on the track. And this thing hit it. It was only going, I think, 125 miles an hour. It can go twice that. But 23 people were killed as a result. And now people are looking into maglev technology, saying, wow, you know, maybe it's not such a good idea. What in God's name did you think maglev technology was all about? Do you think it was somehow able to pass through objects? I mean, there was nothing wrong with the maglev technology per se. In fact, that technology kept the train from derailing. It stayed on the track. I don't think derailing is something you really want at that speed, is it? So yeah, if you put a brick wall in the path, or if you put a any kind of vehicle in the way of a speeding train, no matter what kind of technology it is, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. The real technology you should be questioning is the communications technology between the people on the track and the people in the station that could have prevented a train from being sent out on a track that was not clear. But it's unbelievable to me how that is something that makes people question that particular kind of technology. It's got nothing. If anything, it showed how it could improve things by keeping trains on the track instead of flying all over the place. So, yeah, it would be nice to see more such technology. I mean, getting places faster, having less airplanes polluting the air, encouraging the use of mass transit. I've ridden on the only one of these that's available for public consumption. That's the one in Shanghai. And I got to tell you, it was really something. It was really, really fast, really smooth, and something that we'll never see in this country, that's for sure. But what are you going to do? And then we had the whole UN thing last week in New York City. Now, this is something that really upset me a lot, because you had all these people giving talks. You had Ahmadinejad. I learned how to say his name, the Iranian president, Ahmadinejad. I can say it now. Giving the hostile speech about the United States aggression and things like that. Fine. It's what the UN is for, to voice opinions and to hear different perspectives. And then you had Chavez the next day talking about Bush, saying that George W. Bush was the devil who had left the UN podium smelling of sulfur. And, look, the guy is out of his mind. There's no question about that. Hugo Chavez is out of his mind. But still, he says things that need to be said. He also held up the Noam Chomsky book, America's Quest for Global Dominance, and that certainly that propelled that book up to number one on Amazon.com. Chomsky told the New York Times last week that he'd be happy to meet Mr. Chavez. He said he is quite interested in his politics and regards many of his views as quite constructive. Chavez urged his audience to read Chomsky's book, saying it would help explain what has been happening in the world throughout the 20th century and the greatest threat looming over our planet. So that was interesting in and of itself. But the thing that really bugged me about all this was the reaction. The reaction to this. Listen to this. Two of President Bush's staunchest domestic critics leapt to his defense on Thursday, the day after one of his fiercest foreign foes called him the devil. Listen to what Representative Charles Rangel, who I had considered to be one of the most liberal people in Congress, Democrat from New York, listen to what he says about this. You don't come into my country, you don't come into my congressional district, and you don't condemn my president. Oh, my God. And House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, the minority leader, was blunt in her criticism. He is an everyday thug, she said. A thug? He calls Bush the devil and he's a thug? How does that make you a thug exactly? I'm not aware of thuggery going on in Caracas. Is there much thuggery? There's conflict. Yeah, there's differing opinions, but as I understand it, there's a free exchange of ideas and debates going on. But this is what really bugs me about statements like this. First of all, it's not your congressional district. It's not even your country. It's the United Nations. It's a forum for international leaders and representatives to discuss things, to say things. And you've got nothing to do with that. And second of all, what exactly is wrong with people saying nasty things about Bush, calling him the devil? I mean, he's said nasty things about other people. Why is that such a sticky point? Is it perhaps you're afraid that the American people are going to see you as a sympathizer to someone who says nasty things about your president? I think that's what it is. I think that's every time Democrats get on the bandwagon like this, it's because they're afraid of what will happen if they don't. Yeah, it's just sad. It's just sad and all too typical. I found an interesting site concerning Chavez run by, I'm not really sure who's running this, but definitely anti-Chavez people. It's called Militares Democraticos.com, MilitaresDemocraticos.com. And they have a frequently asked question section. One of the questions being, why can't you accept Chavez as your president? He was democratically elected. To which the reply is, so was Hitler and Mussolini. Being democratically elected is a good start, but what you do afterwards is what matters. If you abuse your power and turn your country into a police state, then you have betrayed the trust of the people who elected you. Hugo Chavez is turning Venezuela into a one-man, one-party totalitarian state, and this was not what we, his voters, elected him to do. Now, first of all, how does one answer to a question speak for all the voters? That's what I'd like to know. Second, I don't think that the majority of people are against him at this point. I think the majority of people in Venezuela are poor, and he stands up for what they feel is important. Whether or not he's effective is another question. And number three, democracy did not elect Hitler to power. Let's get that out of the way, please. He never had more than 37% of the popular vote in the honest elections that occurred before he became chancellor, and the opposition among the 63% against him was generally quite strong. Hitler, therefore, would have never seen the light of day had the German Republic been truly democratic. Unfortunately, its otherwise sound constitution contained a few fatal flaws. So, people who keep saying that he was democratically elected, it's not true. Didn't happen that way. Okay, our phone number is 631-632-9872. Anything on your mind, please give us a call, 631-632-WUSB. And again, we'd like to have a bunch of calls on the line. What always happens, I don't know why this always happens, we have to beg for calls, and then at 5 minutes to the hour, we have five calls on the line that we can't get to because we have to get out of here. And that's not right. I see that one call. When it turns to two or three, then we'll go to the phones, because that's one of the funnest parts of the entire show. Here's a letter writer. Dear Off the Wall, lately, this is local actually, lately I've been exploring the basements of various buildings on campus and came across some interesting stuff. I found a huge mechanical room in the Stoller Center for the Arts with what appears to be an entrance to a tunnel. Unfortunately, I did not bring a flashlight, so I really couldn't tell how far it extended. The reason I'm mentioning this is because I came across an archive show from a few years ago about the tunnels and the curiosity to explore things in general. The spirit of exploration is still alive. Signed, G-Man. Well, G-Man, yes, that is, in fact, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but that is, in fact, an entrance to the tunnels. I used to go through that a lot, actually. The Fine Arts Center, down in the basement, there's a passageway, and it's one of the best, most dramatic entrances to the tunnels, but I'm pretty sure it's locked at the end. I'm pretty sure they welded all the doors shut, and it's not easy to get into. If you can get into there, well, good luck. Let me know what happens if you even make it through alive, because they certainly don't treat things the way they used to treat things, and you'll probably be thought of as a terrorist if you even set foot in that place. But yeah, there's a whole big tunnel system underneath the campus. It's really interesting and fascinating to look at. There's a whole big sub-basement in the Health Science Center. If you ever make it down there, that's something that is unbelievable. It's like a nuclear power plant. But, you know, the magic is gone. I'll take that back, though. There is one thing the university has done in the past year, which I think is phenomenal. And it's not the stadium. Boy, I wish they'd just demolished that thing. I hate the stadium. They put a stadium down in the middle of what was a nice green field, and now you have all these people. Every time I come here, I have to do battle with these big SUV soccer moms who don't know how to park, who are being really competitive to get the best parking spaces because I guess they open up the stadium to kids playing soccer, which I guess is okay, but can't you do that in the field anyway? No, get rid of the stadium with its lights that you can see from the space shuttle. It doesn't serve any real purpose except to put us on the map, but do we really want to be on those maps? The good thing the campus did was one of the new traffic patterns. They put in, get this, a traffic circle. They actually put a traffic circle on campus. What this means is you can be coming from one of four different directions, and you don't have to stop to go in any of the other directions. It's just like in Europe, where you come up to the, you yield to traffic that's already in the circle, and then once you're in the circle, you can go around as many times as you want, and then just shoot off, propelling yourself like some kind of space probe in a direction that you want to go. It's great. It's great. Much better than having all these stop signs every place. And I encourage people to use it and encourage them to. I'm sorry. There were three calls, and then finally I turned my hand to the phone, and they're all gone. I'm sorry, but I had to finish my paragraph at least. 631-632-9872. It's just timing issues, I guess. What else is going on? The Taliban says Bin Laden is alive. Yeah, there's a whole big scare that Osama Bin Laden actually may be dead and we didn't kill him. And that's cause for concern amongst many people. But Dubai-based Ali Arabiya Television today quoted a Taliban official as saying Al-Qaeda leader Osama Bin Laden was alive and in good health. And I guess they would know. They keep in contact. But I think we really should call on him just to let us know. Let us know you're okay. Let us know that you're out there and you're still alive and making various proclamations and things like that. Or you know what? Either you can give us a call here at 631-632-9872. We won't ask you any of the touchy questions. You send us an email. We won't trace back the IPs or anything like that. We just want to talk to you. We just want to hear that you're actually out there. Because face it, with the media, with all the sensationalism out there, a lot of rumors get started, and rumors do nobody any good. It's good to know people are alive, people are dead, just for the record. All right. He's not going to write. He's not going to call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
Doing pretty good myself. Let's see. About the getting hung up before we can get on, I was listening to some old shows, and you mentioned something about automatic redialers.
Uh-huh.
Is there a service that we could use, like an 800 number that could do that for us? That would be very helpful.
You had a phone number that would redial for you.
Right. Yeah, I heard about something like that on an old show.
Gosh, I don't really... I know that local phone companies will redial if something is busy. I don't know if they do it if the phone is actually not answering.
Uh-huh.
I think basically the closest thing I can think of that does that is an old-fashioned modem that just will keep redialing over and over again, or... You can program a phone. I don't think there's a number you can call that will keep redialing for you, though, because they're not making any money off that.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about, is making money.
I get a busy signal after so many rings. I guess it's just the singular doesn't like me.
Well, it's not a busy signal. It's a reorder. It's a fast busy, right?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So basically, yes, what singular is doing is saying, well, nobody picked up after, 10 rings, so that means they're probably not going to pick up, and we can use the circuit for something that'll give us revenue. Back in the old days,
we'll have some input on that.
In the old days, you could stay on for a day ringing a phone until it picked up. And, not many people did that, but it was good to know you could.
At least it was possible.
Yeah, and it was great.
Anyway,
great
on the main topic.
Yes.
On guns, I disagree with your position somewhat, but I do agree that among all these other things that are going on, especially these atrocities being committed by the government,
mm-hmm.
Guns are pretty far down on the list for me, and I think for most people.
That's the only point I was trying to make, is that I don't understand why people always raise this as the issue. There are so many constitutional issues these days. Why get hung up on this one, which it doesn't seem to be in any imminent threat, and which many people will debate is even a constitutional issue in the first place? We can have that debate, but now there's so many other things we can be concerned about.
Right, and it's not like you could overthrow the government. I think that's quite ridiculous.
Right.
That's that. It's just not within the realm of possibility and won't be for a long time.
And that's why the government isn't really concerned about it, because it's no threat to them whatsoever.
Right. Hugo Chavez may be a jerk, but at least he isn't invading countries that didn't deserve it for political and cronyism reasons.
Good point.
And on that, I'd like to hear more about what you and some of the other listeners think about what we can do to kind of reverse some of the decline in civil liberties and other things that have occurred over the last few years.
What we can do? Well, gosh, waking up is so essential. And I think, unlike back in the 60s and the 70s, people actually seemed to be loud. They seemed to get up and talk and demonstrate. And we seem to have lost our passion for doing that. I think we believe that there is nothing we can do. It's this almighty force that we can never influence in any particular way. So why even bother trying? Unfortunately, I think that's the mindset that many of us have gotten ourselves into. I mean, there should be anti-war protests at least every single weekend, if not every single day. And there aren't. And when they do happen, they're always by these factionalized groups that have to tie it into a million other things and wind up just alienating everybody who's around.
Right. And we need to have a big tent strategy. That's what the Republicans like to call it. And it works quite well for them. They actually talk, different groups, abortion rights people, people who are fiscal conservatives, they all talk. They say, this year we're going to work on your issues, Bill, and next year we're going to work on yours, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that they coordinate. They make these issues different priorities depending on what they can get accomplished. And I think if people that are interested in, civil rights were to do the same thing, we could maybe get something accomplished. Also, I think we need to try not to alienate the mainstream with extremism quite so much.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's somebody who disagrees with you on something is not your enemy. There's somebody who disagrees. Like, I can have conversations with people about this gun thing who completely disagree with me, but yet I can side with them on other things. And I just know too many people who would just never speak to them because they don't agree with them on the gun thing or on the abortion thing or on some other thing.
Yeah, we don't have to agree on everything to agree that we should all have, free speech and freedom of religion and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are American values, and I think we've kind of forgotten that, about that.
Yeah.
Also, one last thing, and then I'll take my answer off the air. What about what's the status with Speaker's World?
Oh, the film that I'm allegedly making. Yeah, I did a lot of filming for that last year. I haven't really had time to devote much to it this year. We're probably going to be doing a little bit more filming and then just piecing it all together. But I got to be honest with you, not really sure where that project's going at the moment as far as tone or statements or something like that. And that, to me, tells me that in the end it's going to be interesting because I'm not even sure how we're going to get to where we're going or where we're going in the end. But I think when you get a whole bunch of people together giving their opinions in their native tongues, you're bound to find something, some kind of common interest or thread or just something that, revealing that you didn't know was there when you started.
And a focal point.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Okay, take care. And good evening. How did the dial tone call us? Okay, I'm going to dial. Okay, that's our dial tone. Wow. How about that? I don't know how that's possible. I've never seen that happen on this phone system before. Okay, well, I just learned something. Good evening. You're on the air.
So just because we can't afford our own laundry service at home, we're psycho?
Well, no. I mean, maybe you're one of the people who isn't psycho, but...
What about laundry service employees?
I don't know. I used to know people who were laundromat service employees when I hung out with freakers, hackers, and other people. but those days are long gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, I don't know. It's like a magnet for wackos and Looney Tunes.
I did used to know this guy.
Uh-huh.
Come into the laundromat, and I guess it was his only clothes, because he would strip down to his underwear, wash his clothes, and of course, if anyone looked at him, he'd be like, "What are you staring at?" Pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, don't believe me. Just drive to your local laundromat and hang out for a few minutes, and somebody's going to approach you and say all kinds of nonsense that doesn't make any sense. And I don't want to seem callous or anything like that. It's just an observation.
Yeah.
Well, you don't
there
notice
is
this.
A old technology invention that you can use for your dilemma.
I was going to say clothesline or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. That involves stringing string and going outside and things like that.
But going out before dark, too.
But going out before dark, dealing with the sun.
Heaven forbid.
And I don't know if you heard, but I have a deer situation going on, so the clothes are not out of their reach.
Oh,
so
dear.
Who knows? Yeah, who knows what they might do.
Okay. Well, good luck with the deer.
Thanks. Thanks. I'll need it. And let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air. Go ahead. Speak up. Well, you got to speak up. That's the rule here. You can't just call and not say anything. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Hi. How you doing?
Good. Good. I was just hearing. It's a general topic. Anything can go.
Well,
discussion-wise? Or?
Pretty much. I mean, you know, within the realm of reason.
Yeah. Well, you one of your guests had asked about what we could do as people to resist, I guess. I would say question authority at all levels.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they think you're asleep at the wheel, that's when they try to get away with things. But if they know you're watching, they're a little more on their toes as far as doing what's right, you know, right and wrong, you know?
Right.
But as far as Bin Laden, I always wondered, the day after 9/11, when they evacuated certain members of the Saudis out of the country and denied it. I mean, I couldn't understand why they lied about it if it was the truth, if they weren't hiding something. So I often wondered if it wasn't possibly Bin Laden in our country and they got him out of here.
When did they lie about it?
You know, as to why, I don't know, because there were members of his family on that plane, so could it not have been him? I know if I were to commit a crime, more than likely the authorities would watch every member of my family to see if they could locate me, not escort them out of the country in order that they'd be protected from, you know, inner authorities here, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, I was aware that something like that was going on in the days after 9/11. So when exactly did they lie and say it didn't happen?
Oh, they lied plenty. As a matter of fact, I had questioned a general or somebody on C-SPAN, you know, Washington Journal in the morning. And I called up and I asked him, I said, you know, who did they escort out of the country? I believe it was 19 members of the family. And he denied it. He was an Air Force guy. And he said that nobody left the airspace, that no planes left anywhere.
Well, couldn't have just been one guy who was wrong? Because, like I said, I knew about this. A lot of people knew about this in the days afterwards.
I don't know. You did hear it. I know supposedly in Michael Moore's film, which I haven't seen, they made mention of it. But, there were many denials by the administration. There were plenty of denials.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, it is somewhere on record. I mean, I couldn't say exactly where, except for the one instance when I did question the guy on C-SPAN.
Right.
And he himself had denied it. I mean, they obviously were doing something. There were supposed to be no planes in the sky, period. Nobody else was flying. So what was so important about these people that they needed to leave the country the very next day? And as far as
that's a very good question, by the way.
Also, as far as I understood, is that he had kidney problems or something. He was on dialysis,
right?
Which is maybe he needed special medical care that you probably couldn't receive in other countries. But you know, he could probably get here. You know, the best of the best is here. So you know, he might have been in this country at that time.
Well, I don't know.
More questions than there are answers to that whole thing, and that's why there really needs to be a new investigation. I mean, the one that we got was pretty much a whitewash because they didn't expose all this other stuff that came out afterwards, whether it was the Downing Street memo, you know, all this other stuff that they were seemed to be oblivious to, whether it was the daily memos, the president's daily briefing, where they said that Bin Laden, as a matter of fact, Condoleezza Rice had perjured herself and before the 9/11 Commission about that, because she said that they had no information like that, and she also went further to say that the presidential daily brief had something to do with historical facts. It was more to do with history than it had to do with current events, and that was a lie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I just feel like I said I hate to go into it with a conspiratorial you know, beginnings, but I truly believe that there needs to be an honest investigation outside of, I mean, why are we having all these congressmen and senators looking at this? I mean, they're like in the boat with the people that are doing all this, so
yeah,
they're the last people you want investigating. It's like having the NRC regulate nuclear power plants. I mean, how can you, the same person, build a power plant that's also inspecting them?
Okay, well, here's a question for you, though. Obviously, there are still a lot of questions to answer. I'm definitely not denying that. And the question of why these people had to be evacuated is a very good one. How do you separate a question like that from a question that asks, well, where did the planes really go since we know they didn't crash into the buildings, which I think is kind of bizarre and ridiculous?
Sure. Well, I find that there's much information that's out there. There's a lot of disinformation. And I think a lot of times it's intentional in order that they make people that do have credible questions seem like they're nuts,
right,
or at least when you take it in a certain direction, it takes it into such a far extreme direction. I mean, as far as a lot of the theories, I'm sure are like, they're insane. But there are some basic questions that still lay unanswered that are not being answered, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I heard somebody the other day on the news talk about how this Bush administration did this, that, and the other thing. But on 9/11, when the Bush administration came into office, they changed the standard protocol. They changed air traffic controller procedures, or NORAD's procedures, intercepting any type of hijacking. So why is that? What are the odds that all this occurred 8 months into this administration, mm-hmm, and then to have all the lies, all the leaning? I mean, you basically have an administration that came to power with premeditated war on their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't tell us, they didn't give us as voters we weren't told this. Had we been told that they were going to go to war or held a grudge against the Saddam Hussein regime, we would have never let them into office.
Oh, we knew that.
That's like having a conflict of interest from the start. I mean,
now, wait, can you honestly say you're surprised that Bush wanted to invade Iraq? I mean, he was pretty much saying that he wanted to do that for months, I thought. And even Clinton wanted to invade Iraq at that point.
Yeah, Project the New American Century had it supposedly written in their documents that they wanted to do that. They needed to do it.
They used 9/11 as an excuse. I mean, 9/11 was used by them as an excuse. I think that's the real scandal right there, is that
they used it against us. Plus the fact that, you know, I mean, everything was a lie, whether it was because they threatened his father, because he had weapons of mass destruction, it's because he puts burqas on his women, because he mistreats his people,
right,
he cuts their heads off. You know, and that's another thing, too. A lot of people are critical of them for slicing heads off, but this is a 10,000-year-old culture. It wasn't too long ago that we cut heads off, too, you know?
Well, that was the name of Christianity.
They've not been modernized, you know? I mean, they're still living very, very meager existences from very old culture, and to think that we can, like, change them, it baffles my mind what this administration was thinking. But I really find that it wasn't necessarily about taking his oil, it was more about controlling his direction of his oil.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you know, limiting its availability keeps the prices high.
Yeah.
Whereas had they lift the sanctions, I remember Saddam Hussein saying,
yeah,
just lift the sanctions, let's cooperate, let's work together, let's let bygones be bygones. And they didn't want to know nothing. They didn't want nothing to do with it because...
Okay, listen, sir, I'm sorry we have to cut you off, but we are out of time.
The oil,
but,
and protecting it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I really have to cut you off at this point, but thanks for your call, and thanks for... Okay, thanks. Thanks for calling. I hate having to cut people off, but sometimes it's important that we keep to the schedule, and that's what we have to do today. Let's continue this discussion next week. All sorts of things to go over. Our email address, otw@2600.com. Until next time, be safe, be suspicious. Good night.
Continuing on our way through Sicily, we came upon where now stands the city of Syracuse. There we made our sacrifice, and Heracles cried. At the sea, we carried on through
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.